And we're going to continue today in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs, as we've been talking about, it's a 3,000-year-old book. Solomon collected 3,000 sayings. We only have about 800 of them. And some of the ones we're going to actually look at today are not from Solomon. They're by someone else. When we first started at the very beginning of our series, for a couple of weeks, we talked about the purposes that Solomon had for the Proverbs. Today I'm going to show you another statement about the purpose of Proverbs that are actually from someone else who collected some of the Proverbs, and they're towards the end of the book of Proverbs. It'll be up on your screen. But these are some of the other purposes that were written, and it's an unknown person, but from chapter 22. Here's what he says. So go ahead and throw up there. He says, where am I at? Is there two verses before that? Okay. So it actually starts out saying this: listen to the words of the wise, apply your heart to my instruction, for it is good to keep these sayings in your heart, always ready on your lips. I am teaching you today, yes, you, so that you will trust in the Lord. I have written 30 sayings to you, filled with advice and knowledge. In this way, you may know the truth. So again, just another statement about the purposes, and the bottom line being so that you, yes, you could know the truth. And one of the interesting things that he said in there is he said, and I want you to keep these right handy, with it so that you can have them ready anytime you need them. Well, the idea would be what? That we would memorize these things. These Proverbs would be quick recall for us to be able to just pull out and recall. So today we're going to look at the subject of our speech and how we use our tongue. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what we're going to look at today. And if you want to leave right now, we'll all close our eyes on the count of five. And you can get up and leave, and no hard feelings on my part whatsoever. There's a common saying that, you know, people pick up, and they pick it up young, that says, sticks and stones. Okay, yeah. And someone over here said, that's a lie. You know, the statement, so we say, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We say it that way as if it's the truth, and the original intention of that statement was that it to be kind of an overspeak. It was not meant to be true. It was meant to be kind of in the sense that you'd go, what? No way, that's not the way it is. And so maybe it could be rewritten a different way. So it should say, if we hadn't learned it that way, it should say something like this: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can also hurt me. But the way we originally learned it is meant to be an overspeak, to try and, you know, kind of a, not really hyperbole, but maybe a little bit of irony, just like, no, that's not true. That's not true at all. And that's how we were supposed to read it. Ruby Redford wrote a poem from this idea. It goes like this: stones and sticks break only skin, while words are ghosts that haunt me. Did you catch that line? Stones and sticks break only skin, while words are ghosts that haunt me. Slant and curved the word's sword fall, in it pierces and sticks inside me. Bats and bricks may ache through bones, but words can mortify me. Pain from words has left its scar on mind and heart that's tender. Cuts and bruises have not healed. It's words that I remember. It's words that I remember. How many of you remember words from your being a kid or growing up and can still recall some of the things that were said to you? Raise your hand. Okay, most of us. Most of us. You know, we have some common statements we make about misspeak or about trouble our tongue can get into. We use words like this. You know, I'm getting an echo, Todd. I don't know if it's from the monitors or where it's coming from, but maybe I'm just too hot. There we go. Thank you. We say things like, I put my foot in my mouth. So we say that because we misspeak. You know, we say something we knew we shouldn't have said. You're digging a deeper hole. You could quit while you're ahead because you're just getting deeper. A better stop while you're ahead. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't twist my words. I mean, we have all those kinds of statements because misspeaking and speaking poorly and speaking wrongly is such a common reality for all of us. Here's a theme verse for the day. I'm not really going to spend any time talking about it, but here's a theme verse for the day. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. There's a guy in our community that that I anticipated being at Velma's memorial that didn't make it to Velma's memorial. And he was unable to make it to Velma's memorial for a good reason. But I asked him later, and he said, oh, I wanted to be there so bad. And then he said, because when my mom was going through a divorce, Velma would regularly contact me and find out how I'm going and had words to encourage me. We all like a fitting answer, don't we? We all like those, like, well, that was so wonderful. That was so perfect. That meant so much to me. See, speaking the right things in the right way at the right time is God's goal. And it's the highest for us. It's God's highest for it. So again, up on your screen, speaking the right things in the right way at the right time is God's goal and his best for every Jesus person. That's God's goal. But like the goal's here, and we're like, down here, or maybe even lower. Lower? we're just down there because it's just so hard to do. I'm going to highlight, we can't go through all the verses on tongue. It's one of the main themes of the book of Proverbs is the whole idea of the tongue, the words we speak. We can't go through all of them. I'm going to highlight a few categories, and then we're going to dig into two areas at the very end. But here's one of the first ones that's important. From Proverbs chapter 6, it says this, there are six things the Lord hates, no seven things he detests. There's six things he hates, seven that he detests. And detest, you know, some of the synonyms for detest would be abhor, loathe, despise. These are things that make the Lord sick. They're not just things like, oh, that bothers me when people do that. No, they make him sick. That's what it's talking about. He despises these things. Here's what they are. Haughty eyes, which is the idea of pride. A lying tongue. Hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. Three of those have to do with the tongue. Three of those things have to do with how we use our words. And it doesn't just say, again, that it bugs him. It says that God hates it. He detests it. We're going to talk at the very end about how our words create worlds. I think that's one of the reasons God hates these things and the way we use our tongues and use our tongues improperly is because we create worlds by the things we speak. So the three things were a lying tongue, a false witness, and a person who sows discord in their family. A person who sows discord in their family. So here's some of the categories. Argumentative words. If you want these notes, just email me or contact me and I'll email them to you. But arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. Or avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. Boasting words, let someone else praise you, not your own mouth. A stranger even, not your own lips. The words of fools. Fools' words get them into constant quarrels. They are like they are asking for a beating. Gentle words are the tree of life. And there's a bunch of verses about this. Gentle words are the tree of life. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Or there's words that are spoken by godly people. The lips of the godly speak helpful words. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before it speaks. Or there's a category of godless words. There's godly words, there's words that godless people speak. With their words, the godless destroy their friends. There's words that are about gossip. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip spreads separates the best of friends. A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. Just don't hang around with gossips. I mean, he just says it that plainly. Or one of the big ones about the tongue, it has to do with honesty, telling the truth. You know, some of those that we just looked at from Proverbs 6 had to do with that. There's actually, in my study notes, I actually have 15 verses all written out and highlighted and so on. But I'll spare you. I'll just give you a couple here. It says, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. So if you want to be someone the Lord delights in, you be a what? A truth teller. You want to be someone who the Lord despises? Remember what despising means? Despising, you know, like loathing, makes me sick. You want to be someone the Lord despises? And we would go, wait a second, the Lord loves everyone. Well, he might love you, but he hates the reality when you're not being an honest person. Everybody with me? So we're going to dig a little deeper into two areas. One is the whole idea of keeping my mouth shut. About keeping my mouth shut. The other one has to do with worlds we're going to create. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But here's how Proverbs 21 says it. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Now, I could ask for a show of hands or even a show of two hands or everyone stand or whatever it happens to be of people who've gotten themselves in trouble with their tongue, but it would include all of us, right? So we'll just avoid that or you know, go beyond that. Keeping your mouth shut, it is really hard to do. And because someone needs to say something. If someone doesn't say something about this, who will? Someone's got to say something, right? I mean, that's how we look at it. If I don't say something, who will? I got to get this off my chest. Whatever this is, I got to get it off my chest. But I got to get it off my chest. Or I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. The problem is we don't have a lot of pieces to give. And then we give them away. Like, no, just keep it in there. You would be better off to keep it in there, not just give someone else the piece of it, right? But some of us, and some in this room, unfortunately, are wired. You have to say something. Others are like, I don't need to say anything. Matter of fact, I don't like saying a whole lot. But for those of you that just have to say something, okay? It says stay quiet. You know, somebody said, wisdom is knowing when to bite your tongue. Someone else, I have this in one of my pre-marriage counseling notes, is a scarred tongue is the sign of a healthy marriage. You just bite your tongue. You don't need to say it. They don't say, and then there's other people who don't say much, but sometimes when they say something, watch out, because it's not pretty. It's like it's all bottled up. And then they finally say it, and they say it all kind of thing. Proverbs 13 says this, those who control their tongue will have a long life, and opening your mouth can ruin everything. So we're going to talk about this, but we're going to go with the end of the verse first. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Let's say you're on a date with your spouse and you just had to say it, didn't you? You just couldn't bite your tongue. You just couldn't keep it in. Where do you want to go to dinner? Oh, I don't care. You choose. Okay, we'll go to the Olive Garden. Not the Olive Garden. I hate the Olive Garden. Why do you always choose the Olive Garden? And then they say, well, why did you ask? You told me to choose, right? Anybody ever been in that setting? Okay, let's go to the movies. What do you want to watch? Oh, and I want to watch Terminator. Terminator? No, not Terminator. Who wants to watch? I just came to my mind. I have no idea why. Okay, I don't even know how old the movie is. Never even seen it. But it's what came to my mind for whatever reason. And then we have an argument about the movie because we just had to say it. It just had to come out. You know, and Thanksgiving dinner, the family's all around, and somebody's got to start it. I mean, somebody says something, and next thing you know, it's the whole thing just starts unwinding. You know, we had a Christmas a few years ago where Barbara and I actually stayed at Gene and Carolyn's cabin, and we left home and left all our family in our house. And we left home, so we went to Gene and Carolyn. We got back to our house at Christmas morning. So it's Christmas morning, it's 8 o'clock, whatever it happens to be. And there's family members waiting to talk to us because they had an altercation, not just a verbal altercation, but actually got physical the night before. Somebody had to say it. You just had to get into it. So I spent Christmas Day counseling my family, because I'm the preacher. I'm the token counselor guy. It's like, you know. But somebody, yeah, Merry Christmas is right. But somebody had to say it. Somebody has to say it, right? And all of a sudden, there we are. It's all kinds of troubles going on. And, one time I got into discussion not too long ago, and I'm not proud of this, but I got into discussion with one of my kids about some of the social things that are going on in our culture. And he said this, and I said this, and he said that, and I said that. And I got a little bit mad. And it did not turn out well. It ruined everything. Now, I apologized, and we made up and kissed, and we're, hunky-dory now. But... you know, you open your mouth and say the wrong thing at the wrong time and in the wrong way, whatever it happens to be. And next thing you know, it's not pretty. And then it says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Now, this is not a promise. Okay, if I just don't talk much, then I'm going to live long. It's not a promise, but it's an observation. Remember, that's what Proverbs are. They're an observation of how life typically works. And the reason being is if you keep your mouth shut at certain times, the other person's not going to want to strangle you. Right? I mean, that's what it's talking about. They don't want to kill you because you just can't keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 17 says this, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Notice it says they seem intelligent. You know, there's a phrase that's very similar to this attributed to both Abraham Lincoln and Mark Twain. Now, there's no historical evidence that either one of them said it or wrote it, but you've probably heard it and you've probably even heard someone say that they said this, and it goes like this. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Just keep your mouth shut and how hard that is. The closest statement we have of this idea was actually printed in 1906 in a book called Mrs. Goose, her book, and it goes like this. It's better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than open it and remove all doubt. There's the other side of it. It's better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than to open it and remove all doubt. What's the point? Is there's times you just need to keep your mouth shut. And wisdom is knowing when to say something and when to just leave it alone. Just walk away and leave it alone. Everybody with me? Okay. So the last idea goes like this. It has to do with the words create worlds. Now, hopefully I can make this clear to you, but words create worlds. Proverbs 18 says this, the tongue can bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The tongue can bring death or life. The tongue can speak words that Proverbs 18 said in the Easy Reader version says it this way. The tongue can speak words that bring life or death. You know, when God created, other than Adam and Eve, when God created, he created using his words. He said, let there be light. And what? And it was so. He said, let the water be separated from the sky above. And what? And it was so. It happened. Or in Hebrews, it says this, and we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. God created. He just spoke. And when he spoke, these things were created. Now, this whole idea has all been twisted in what sometimes is called prosperity teachings or prosperity doctrine is the whole idea. You know, when I was an early Christian, it was name it and claim it. You just name it and you can get it. And you just had to speak it. Speak the words, because there's power to create in the words you speak. One time when I was living in Los Angeles, I was on the YWAM base. We did counseling at a Christian TV channel. And so we were late at night and, you know, we're answering this thing. And this guy's talking about, you just have to claim back what the devil has taken from your family. You just got to claim it. You speak the words. And when you speak them, the devil has to give you back what he's taken from you, your family. And, you know, the guy's going on about this whole thing. And then people are calling. So I get it, you know, I have a headset on or whatever. And, you know, the phone rings and I answer. And this lady says, oh, you know what? I lost my breast to breast cancer and I want them back. And I'm speaking the word. I'm thinking, I just took the headphones off. I said, thank you. And that was the last time I did any of that. Because I just go, that's nonsense. But the reality is, we do create worlds by the words we speak. I mean, if you think back to the children's stories of Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore created a certain world. Oh, I guess we have to. If it has to be, we'll do it then. He created one world, and Tigger created a totally different world. Bouncity, bouncity, bounce. Bouncity, bouncity, bounce. Right? I mean, there were two, even in their, you know, what surrounded them was they created a world. And we create worlds by the words we speak. This idea is very important to me. And I have tried very hard over the years, both in the church and in the school, to do what needs to be done with my words and use them rightly, because I understand that my words and your words, but my words, and for Brenda knows this as the principal of the school, the administrator of the school, our words create the world. And you either create, and Greg, your words, it's one of the reasons you've been successful and people flock to want to work with you, is because your words create a certain world. Now, there's other people who work in a world, and they'll say, man, morale is so bad. It's so toxic. How does morale get bad in a workplace? It's because people create a work world where it's bad. It's just everything's negative, negative, negative. You guys all with me? And people say it's toxic. Because we create worlds with the words we speak. Now, I'm not perfect at it in any way whatsoever, but I take this idea very seriously. Because, see, God created worlds by the words he spoke, and what did Satan do? Satan sets out to destroy everything he can possibly destroy by what? By words, by lies, by deception, by manipulation, by things he places in people's lives and in people's relationships. He does everything he can to try and destroy, and happens through words. So we create these words. You know, you hear a lot about it today that we live in a divided world. You know why we live in a divided world? Because we use terrible words. We just say things terribly. We say things at the wrong time. And everybody's divided. Divisive words create a divided world. Hateful words create a hateful world. Secure words. You know, secure words create a secure home. That's why as parents, it's just so important. You know, around our house, the rule always was, if you hear dad say it, you can say it. If you don't hear dad say it, you can't say it. That was always the rule around our house, raising our five kids. And, you know, like one of them would say something, and they'd say, have you ever heard your dad say that? No, then you don't say it around our house. Because the onus was not then upon my kids. The onus was on who? It was on me to control my words. Does everybody get the idea? Because you create worlds by the words we use, by the words you use. You create worlds. You know, when you say things like, you're loved and you can do this, let's do it together, I can help you, those kinds of things, you're creating a certain world with your tongue. You know, when my granddaughter, who just turned six just recently, but she was 5 years old, and we have in our backyard, we have two trampolines, and we have a playhouse that when adults are around, the kids can climb on top of the playhouse and jump off the playhouse onto the trampoline, and then they jump onto the second one. Now, don't call CPS on me, okay? You know, we've done this for 30 years. Nobody's ever gotten hurt. I mean, hurt, yes. But anyway, and don't call my insurance company, okay? Yeah. Good one, Stephanie. Yeah. But my granddaughter wanted to get, and I asked her if I could tell this story, so this is not, I'm not telling her, telling you something I haven't asked her permission to tell. I said, you know, she said, Dad, Grandpa, help me up. I said, no, if you're going to jump off the roof, you got to get up on the roof yourself. I can't do it. You know, no, honey, you can do it. Just like, you know, I try and coach her. I'm on the ground trying to coach her. And she's just sobbing, tears running down her eye. And I wanted to get up there and help her. But I said, no, you can do this. You can do this. And she finally got up on the roof, and she's standing up there, and she jumps off and jumps on the trampoline, and then she's jumping up and down. I did it. I can do this. I can do this. I mean, just all excited as could be. Went from tears to I can do this. Now, I could have helped her, but I wanted to encourage her to take a challenge to do something she thought she couldn't do. We create worlds by the words we speak. Now, I could say, no, you can't do that. You'll never get up there. Here, let me do it for you because you can't do it. We're creating a world, right? You guys are looking at me like you're not agreeing. Or like I'm not getting through. So we're just going to stay on it till they get through, okay? We create worlds by the words we speak. You know, a world where marriage is good is because both of them have worked to speak words of life into that marriage. On the other hand, where marriage is chaos, at least one of them are speaking words of death. And the hard part is, if you're an Eeyore and she's a Tigger, or you're the Tigger, you know, she's the Tigger and you're the Eeyore in the family, somebody's got to work harder than the other one to not let it be created an Eeyore world. Or the Eeyore has to work extra hard to say, this is not going to, our house is not going to be a Tigger world. Is everybody with me? If words of life are being spoken, everything's wonderful. If words of death are being spoken, it's atrocious. But when one is speaking the words of life and one's speaking words of death, that's one of the areas you just get conflict. When both are speaking words of life, very little conflict. When one's speaking words of life and one's speaking words of death, there's conflict. But when both are speaking words of death, it's ugly. It is just ugly, ugly, ugly. Because we create worlds by what we speak. You know, on an insecure home, you can't do that. Do it yourself. You'll never be able to. You're just like you're. Nobody likes you. You know, whatever those words happen to be. And we're speaking words of death. The application is to speak words of life. Speak them over your own life. If you've been around for any length of time, you know this is one of my things. We talk to ourselves all day long. The problem is often we just say the wrong things or we listen to the wrong things. Speak words of life over your own life. Speak it over your spouse's life. Speak it over your kids' life. Speak it over the workplace, at church, at school, your neighborhood, friends, restaurants, wherever it happens to be. When we speak words of life, we are helping to create a world of life. That's what's happening when we speak words of life. On the other side, the application would be, don't speak words of death. Don't speak them over your own life. Don't speak them over your spouse. Don't speak them over your kids. Don't speak them over your grandkids. Who benefits when we create a world where death is spoken? Who benefits? No one. No one benefits. When it's like we just let those words come out and they're words of death. You know, they're words of destruction. They're words of insecurity. Nobody benefits. Nobody benefits. Thanks, Gene. And Gene, the most positive guy in the room, agrees with me. Thanks, Gene. Isn't it true? Who benefits when we speak words of death? Who benefits? Nobody. Nobody. And yet we find ourselves creating that kind of a world. And you and I live in the world we create. Well, you don't know the house I live in. You helped create it. Nobody knows my parent, the family, you know, I grew up in. And, okay, I don't know the family you grew up in. But the family you grew up in does not mean it has to be the family you live in and you continue to carry out. Lots of people come from broken homes and have amazing lives. And amazing homes. You don't have to live in the life that was created for you by your parents who didn't handle life well. You don't have to live life that way. You have the ability to create worlds. Think about what gets started by simple words. Like, will you marry me? All of a sudden, what gets started? Or how about you're fired, or you're hired? We'll get to your fired in just a second, but you're hired. Or I'm pregnant. Can you remember that? First time when someone said, I'm pregnant? Or they accepted your offer. Or for me, one of the best words I ever heard, it's a girl. One of the best words I ever heard. It's a girl. The doctor was, my wife had a C-section, and so they cut her open, and they're pulling out the head, and they go, oh, look at the head on this kid. And then look at the shoulders, going to play for the Huskies for sure. Look at the size of this kid. And then pulled the rest out and goes, it's a girl. And I'm like, it's a girl, it's a girl. We got a girl. But think about the thing, just some simple words and what gets started. And yet on the other side, I don't love you anymore. I hate you. You're a fill in the blank. I wish you were dead. I wish I was dead. And here's the reality. Speak to the teenagers here in the room for a second. Here's the reality. You help create the world in your home. I mean, I've talked to you a lot about parents, but the reality is when you as a teenager say certain things in your home, you help create the world in your home. Teenagers, all with me? Kids? We all play a part in this. We all play a part in the world that gets created. So what world are you creating at home? What world are you creating at work? What world are you creating in the community? What world are you creating on social media? There's another one. That's a whole other subject, but we create worlds in social media. What's the world we create? What if each of us asked, what world will these words create? In my marriage, with my kids, with my grandkids, what world will these create? Proverbs 18, again, in English reader versions, or easy reader version, says this: the tongue can speak words that bring life or death. Proverbs 11 says, the words of the godly are life-giving fountain. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The Apostle Paul said it this way. Be up on your screen, and then we'll make an application. He says this. He says, don't use foul or abusive language. And then let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And the operative word in that verse, the operative word is what? Let everything. That's the operative word. Let everything. Let everything you say. Meaning, Proverbs is in teaching us to control our tongues. And one of the reasons is, with our tongues, we create worlds of life or we create worlds of death. Right? So, here's your thoughts. Here's the applications. Go to God and say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Just begin to teach yourself. Every time you say something, you like, those words shouldn't have come out of my mouth. God, forgive me. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. And if you need to, you go to the other person. And you say to the other person, I never should have said that to you. Will you forgive me for saying it? Well, you always say stuff like that. Well, you're asking for forgiveness, which are words of life. And they said, oh, you always say stuff like that. Those are words of death, but you're not responsible for their words of death or their words of life. You're responsible for your words of life. Because you can't control that other person's words, but you can control your words. There's this old fable about a woman wanting to learn how to, she had said something she wished she hadn't said, and she wanted to figure out, how do I undo that? And he said, well, here, the guy said to her, here's what you do. You go get a chicken. And she goes and gets the chicken, and he says, okay, kill the chicken. And she kills the chicken and says, now pluck all the feathers out, and now just throw them in the air. And all those feathers just blew in the air and blew away. And he says, now come back tomorrow and talk to me again. So the lady comes back to the guy the next day, and he says, okay, so what's the answer to this? He said, well, go find all those feathers and collect them. She said, well, you can't do that. He says, that's exactly what happens with your words. It's exactly what happens with your words. They get blown to the wind, and once they're out, you don't have control of them. Once they're out on social media, you have no control of them. Once they're out into the world you're creating, you have no control over them. But you can go to the person and say, I never should have said that. Let's stand together. Here's the last application. Psalm 141:3 says, in the New Living Translation, says this, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Let's pray this out loud together. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. One more time. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Lord, help us. This tongue, and we didn't even go into James, it talks all about how it creates, havoc. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to teach us. And we ask you to take control, O Lord, and put a guard over my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Make it a day where you speak words of life. Make it a day where you speak words of life. Even when you go home, if you can't speak words of life, don't. What'd your mama always say? If you can't say something nice, don't say any. And if your mama never said it to you, teach it to your mama so your mama can say it to you. Okay? God bless you. Have a great day.